Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Sofitove Institute Radio Show. This is David Wolf, your host. Welcome to the Sofitove Radio Show. We're here at the Sofitove Studios in Alachua, Florida. This is David Wolf, your host, with Marie Glashine at the controls. Thank you for listening in. We'll be glad to hear from you on the show today. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749. And if you call in and you want to participate in the show, press 1. Also, you can write into our Blog Talk Radio chat. And we encourage you to visit the Sofitove website. There's plenty of articles, radio show links, audio links, video links, especially in the library section of the Sofitove website. That's www.sofitove.com. I'll spell it for those who are new listeners. S, as in Stephen, A, T, Thomas, V, Victor, A, T, Thomas, O, V, Victor, E, sofitove.com. This is the Sofitove Radio Show. We'd be glad to hear from you, to hear your views. Perhaps there's a topic you'd like to hear discussed. Maybe you have an issue related to personal coaching, perhaps career-related, health-related, related to spiritual practice or relationships or communication. Get some live coaching on the spot. If you've listened to the show over the weeks and months and we've gone over a year now, then you know that there's a lot of value and transformation available in being coached and hearing others be coached, We enter into the world of another person, truly listening, then we're setting ourselves up to grow. We're setting our conceptions to be at risk, setting our possible limitations to be expanded, our comfort zone to be expanded when we truly enter the world of another person. And that's what happens. That's what happens in the coaching relationship. You know, when I put myself in that listening position or the facilitator position, I feel I'm growing perhaps as much as or more than the participants or the clients. This is the Sofitove Radio Show, Sofitove Institute. We're presenting transformative communication, not just as a set of skills or techniques of communication, as a communication-based approach to self-realization. Sofitove Radio Show, your station for self-realization. I'm here in the Sofitove Studios with Marie Glashine. Shortly after the previous show, shortly after we got a letter from Roger Rani, and she writes, "I'd like to hear more about communicating with teenagers who seem to think they and their friends know it all, and the parents are just from a different generation." Well, probably be difficult for you to relate to that, Marie.
Yeah, I don't know where she got her teenager, you know. Yeah, I don't understand. It's kind of completely foreign to me.
Yes, Marie, you're the mother of a teenager, and you've worked with teenagers really for the past 30 years, but you've never encountered anything like that.
No, she must be from another planet.
That's individuality, completely different experience. So, teenagers who seem to think that they and their friends know it all and the parents are just from a different generation. Well, certainly, it reminds me, there's a quote I paraphrase quite a bit from Mark Twain. And the exact quote is, this is from Mark Twain, and he's from quite a different generation. He's even like from a much different generation than our great-grandparents. He's before that. So the exact quote is, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in just 7 years." Right. So when Mark, his name was Samuel, actually, when he was 14, his father was an ignoramus, and his father became somehow quite bright by the time he became 21. So that's a phenomenon. That's a phenomenon. Reminds me a little, actually, so recently we've had a few visitors to my home, and they have interaction with my son, is 17, turns 18 on Sunday, May 8th. And, you know, visitors who are connected with the Softov environment and coaching and seminars and coach training, and one of them recently asked, "Oh, have you read your father's book?" And why would he read his father's book? What could my father write in a book that would be valuable for me? Of course, he has some openness. Abhi will be traveling with me next week to Edmonton, Canada, out of some curiosity to participate in the foundational seminar from May 13th to 15th, organized by Antoine Palmer in Edmonton. That'll be our third foundational seminar in Edmonton. So Abhi will be coming with me to that to see, to paraphrase Mark Twain, what the old ignorant man might have to offer. Also reminds a little bit of, I know sometimes with my daughter Sita, who's a little older than Abhi, sometimes I'll mention to Sita, "Oh, I sent you an email yesterday with this and that. I thought you'd find it interesting." And her pretty much default response is, like, if it's an email from me, she pretty much automatically deletes it, figuring what value could possibly be there. Just sees the name, "Oh, that's my dad." And she just hits the delete button. So I'm hoping that she evolves and matures as Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens did, and at some point become astonished at how much the old man had learned in just a few years. But that point hasn't come yet. That point hasn't come yet. Although, what it was a little over 2 years ago, Sita did accompany me to Switzerland when she turned 18, and she participated in the foundational advanced seminar there. So she did give some time to the Safatov environment that we create. Just here in Alachua, Florida, we completed an advanced seminar last week. And the advanced seminar, it's so much about moving forward, connecting in the present and moving forward powerfully in the future. At the same time, we do explore the past. There's a distinction between wallowing in the past and productively exploring the past. And sometimes we talk about parents, mother, father. And we'll talk about how our parents wrote on the slate of our life. And it's important to see, what did they write there? Again, not to wallow in it or get hung up on it, but to see, what did they write there? We're taking inventory. What have I brought into my life from my parents, from my mom, from my dad? And then I can see, and here's something I'm getting from them that works great for me. I'm taking it with me. Here's something I've carried with me from my mom and my dad. It also worked great for me when I was 8 years old, but it doesn't work now. Or maybe it never worked well, just maybe a toxic emotional habit I picked up, and I'm dropping that so I can move forward cleanly into my future. So that's there. Well, Brajirani's wording about communicating with teenagers who seem to think, so it's sort of like in the category of questions, how do we communicate with someone who doesn't want us to communicate with them? How do we communicate with someone who has no interest whatsoever in being in communication with me? And in one sense, transformed communication, it's based on the principle of kind of an open space of choice. And so it's not based on force. And it seems whether it's teenagers or others, you know, it's so much about, well, giving our full effort to create that safe, sacred, secure space. So when someone chooses to communicate with us, they know we're there. They know we're there. Albert Schweitzer was asked, what are the main principles for raising children? He said three principles. First, example. Second, example. And third, example. And so whether someone's open to communicate with us or not, teenager or otherwise, we're always setting an example. So that's something we can always look at. What example am I giving? We can say, I'm not giving any example, and that's always not true. Even if we're hiding in the dark under our covers, we're giving an example. So what example are we giving? A saying I like when I do parenting coaching or when I coach myself is vision is stronger than baggage. Vision is more powerful than baggage. And so there could be so much. There could be so much stuff. And that what's our vision in terms of character and principle that we want to give to our children, whether they're babies or toddlers or teenagers or young adults? What's the vision? And what example are we setting to convey that vision? And sure, I would say if someone's not wanting to speak with me, not wanting to communicate with me, or not seeing that I have much value, I mean, I think you'll agree with Marie that, you know, they might want to communicate, like, Mom, can I have $50? That's a form of communication. Or, Dad, could I have the car keys? That's a communication. Right? Yeah. So, but it might be a form of communication that comes from the first part of Mark Twain's quote, saying that, well, here's this ignorant person who has very little to give except maybe car keys and $20. So, yes. Actually, just before I came to the radio studio, I dropped off my son, Abby. And before he got out of the car, it was, oh, Dad, can I have $20? And so I responded, because that's how I reciprocate with communication. So we can understand there's natural stages in teenage development. Sure, we can look at ourselves. What is it about me that this teenager of mine is at this point not interested in the value I might have to share? And at the same time, not to take it real personally and to continue to set example, not to get harsh with it. You know, sure, we can take an objective look. What is it about me? And, you know, I know that Brajirani and other listeners are familiar that we can show interest in the world of our teenager, our young adult, without being artificial. Like if we're pretending like we're really interested in this this fashion show that my daughter's watching on the internet for hours and hours and hours, then she'd pick up like, Dad, you don't really care about this. Why are you asking me questions about it? At the same time, we can enter into the world and enter into the world without being inauthentic and show interest. And then that creates a safe space that, hey, this person's not in a manipulative way, but this person's showing, you know, in an authentic way, some sincere interest. Create a safe space. Again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about parenting. be glad to hear from our listeners any of your successes, challenges, obstacles, inspirations related to parenting. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749. This is Sapto Radio Show. If you call into the show and you want to be on the show, ask a question, get some coaching, press 1 after you call, 805-285-9749. Press 1 once you're in.
Today we are discussing parenting, and for me, like, it's a very relevant topic because, like you said at the beginning of the call, I do have a teenager, and I can completely relate to Bajani's question to you. Like, yeah, like, how do I find the space in my teenage life to really share who I am? You know, often in seminars or in coaching, I found people who, like, appreciate me for what I'm offering, or, you know, appreciate me even sometimes as a mother or as a nurturing person in their life, and then appreciate my personality or who I am. And in my own relationship with my daughter, it's like, yeah, I'm just that thing that give or don't give, and that's about all I think I am.
I can imagine, Marie, you would feel objectified sometimes. Like, the person you are, the unique person with wisdom and experience is not even acknowledged, not even acknowledged. Not that you have no use, but it's a purely functional use, and I'm sure that could get to you sometimes. I could imagine.
I will be curious to hear from our listener. Many are listening on the phone today. You know, what's your experience in parenting? What are your successes? What are your challenges? You know, like, you know, what you know, your wisdom about parenting that you could bring to a response to Bajani or myself. Where are you at in parenting, or, you know, what's your input here, and what's your story?
Thank you, Marie. You're listening to the Sofoto Radio Show, your station for self-realization. Self-realization is even possible in the role of parenting. Some have even claimed that in their role of parenting, they've gained self-awareness and a deeper understanding of their own identity and purpose in life. Yes, even through parenting, some have even said, even through parenting teenagers, they've achieved that.
I can relate to that, David. I can relate to that part, for sure. Like, it seems that the transition of the teenager is for the child to transit into adulthood. And in a sense, it's for the parents also to transit into adulthood in the same way towards the child, instead of, you know, to transit from being a parent to being a friend, to transit from being a parent to being a human being. And I can see that transition in my own relationship with my daughter. Like, because of the teenage years, I can see that I'm developing detachment that I couldn't imagine could be possible for me as a mother, let's say even 5 years ago or even 3 years ago. And I can see that, yes, my daughters have been throughout my life the best guru I ever had.
Okay, so lots of self-discovery for you in the parenting process. And yeah, thank you for that, Marie. Sometimes some, let's say, apparently contradictory but very complementary principles, two principles to reduce parenting. It's like a responsibility to protect and a responsibility to encourage autonomy. To protect and encourage autonomy. And that looks one way when the child is 2 weeks old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 15 years old. So encouraging autonomy. So if we're too much on the encouraging autonomy without enough protection, then it's just like we're not protecting the seedling, and it can get destroyed because it doesn't have the developed intelligence or faculties to protect itself. And so we want to encourage autonomy in a way that stretches our children of whatever age, and at the same time in a healthy, balanced way where we're also providing protection, not smothering. For me, Maria, a source of many inspiring quotes on parenting comes from the teachings of Bhaktivedanta Swami. I have one here which for me relates to this kind of integration of principles. Bhaktivedanta Swami said, as long as a living entity in the form of a child is innocent, it is the duty of the father and mother to lead him into a proper understanding of the values of life. When a child is grown, it should be left up to him to execute the duties of life properly. So for me, that quote relates to that transition period that you talked about. Right? That at every phase, it's always more. There's always a natural more and more autonomy to navigate navigate the responsibilities of life. There's naturally more autonomy at 6 years old compared to 2 years old, and at 16 compared to six. And if we're not giving open, trusting space for that autonomy, and autonomy sometimes means the space to make mistakes. It says that if we want our children to stand on their own, we need to give them space to fall down. And if we're not giving that open, trusting space, then, there's the example of the cocoon, the cocoon, and a boy thought he would further the process. He would help the process go quicker. So he released the butterfly, and the butterfly did not have the muscles in its wings to fly, because the process of struggle is key. That process of struggle for the butterfly to fly on its own. What do we have, Marie?
We have two callers. Two callers wanted to come in. I'm going to take one after another. The first caller, your error code is 850, and you are in now. You can state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, okay. I guess I'm on the air then. Is that right?
Yeah.
You're on the air, yeah?
Okay,
What is your name?
Is Mariah calling from Tallahassee, Florida.
Hey, welcome, Mariah. Welcome to the Sofitov Radio Show from Tallahassee.
Thank you. I came in a couple minutes into the show, and I heard that you were speaking about relating with teenagers.
That's right.
I, for the last few years, have had a teenager in my life, and for the last several months, she's not been in my life, but she's about to come back in my life in some form or another in the next couple of weeks. And in the past, her father and I and she have had a pretty stressful and unhealthy way of relating. And and now when she comes back in, I'm having lots of feelings of some anxiety, and also trying not to have expectations. I'm just having a lot of things come up because I don't know what to expect as far as our relating, and I want it to be more functional than it was in the past. And my experience for myself is that in the past that I was not just not in my power as far as being able to control my reactions to things, and my experience of her is that she's very manipulative and very rarely tells the truth, which may be a common experience for some people with teenagers. My concern is, like, I'm not sure how to approach that. I now want to approach it from a place of being in my power, but yet, I'm still not sure how to deal with that. Deal with that, meaning the untruthfulness and the manipulation. I feel unclear how to deal with that, if it comes to be that way again. But I want to deal with it differently than I have in the past.
Definitely. Okay, so what might work if you're just ready to maybe playfully brainstorm? What strategy might work? Where might you go into yourself? What might you do differently in the past to either create an environment where this teenager will be more straightforward, or if she does go to the manipulative, deceptive place, that it'll be a more effective way to deal with it? What might be a possibility there?
Well, the obvious things that I can come up with is just being aware of just how I feel in any situation.
Mm-hmm.
If something starts to come up that is that feels not right to me somehow, if it feels untrue, to notice what my reaction is, and first of all, just to stay calm. That's
to be calm, to be aware of your experience authentically.
Yes. Because in the past I've felt really out of control when that happens, and unsupported, and just not knowing how to deal with it. And so that's the first thing. And I just am hoping that I am able to catch that kind of stuff when it comes up, just the feeling of wanting to react. And then the other thing is, I guess, and I heard you saying things about, you know, example. So maybe setting an example of, like, just that, to be honest with what's coming up for me and what I might be feeling.
Okay. Yes.
And also, I guess, being, you know, from what I've learned, being direct. But that feels a little questioning to me, like, I guess it all depends on the situation, what direct actually means for each situation.
In hearing you reflect, Mariah, if you could maybe turn your radio down or your volume down, because I just hear some feedback there. Yeah.
You're hearing that now?
Okay, that's good. That's good. Okay. You know, when we talk about we have about 90 seconds left in the show. I appreciate your call, Mariah, and your self-reflection. You know, when we talk about principles of conscious living, the first two principles, the first is to experience our experience. That's like a principle of mastery, principle of conscious living, to experience our experience. And the second principle is to communicate our experience so that others get it, so that others get us. And that's what I'm hearing, that your emerging realization, to be willing to authentically experience your experience, and as appropriate, to communicate it so that others, including this teenager in your life, so that they get you. Get you means, you know, as in the spirit that you're intending, not compromising, not harsh, assertive, caring, bold, strong, empathic, that whatever is true for you, that you're cultivating increasing mastery to communicate your experience so that she gets it.
Okay. To communicate in a way that she gets it, and that's a good thing for me to remember. I appreciate that very much, the reminders.
Thank you, Mariah. I appreciate very much. Appreciate your participation in the Soft Tove Radio Show. I know we had some other callers. We invite you to write to us and to call in next week in the Soft Stove Radio Show. So thank you, Mariah, for participating in Soft Stove Radio Hour, your station for
self-realization. Okay, thank you very much, David.